Southwest Utah is growing fast. Water and housing are on everybody's mind. And in one local city, residents are concerned about another resource, their dark night skies. From our Southwest News Bureau, David Fox has more.
It's around 11:30 p.m. in Ivins, a small city about 10 miles northwest of St. George. And Mike Scott and Tim Pavlik are driving to the edge of town. Their goal is to measure the brightness of the sky.
Is it a good night for this?
This is a good night, yeah. I mean,
they step out of the car and into a clear and cloudless night. Tim takes out a handheld device called a sky quality meter and points it straight up towards the Milky Way, which, seen from here, is a thick white ribbon.
And go for it.
He takes down a series of measurements.
21.18.
Which Mike records on a clipboard.
21.18.
The point is to establish a baseline for the area and to track how light pollution is changing as the city grows. It's projected to double in size over the next 20 years, and Washington County, where Ivins is located, is expected to triple in population by 2065.
It is going to have an impact. I mean, that's inevitable, but how much of an impact?
For people like Scott, the answer to that question depends on what the city does to protect the night skies from light pollution. Earlier this year, he co-founded the Ivins Night Sky Initiative with his wife, Patty Dupre. Their goal is to help the city become an official international dark sky community. To do that, they need to show how the city's taken significant measures to keep its skies dark. That includes passing lighting ordinances, holding educational events, and monitoring for light pollution every 3 months, like they're doing tonight.
Yeah, you got a nice band of the Milky Way now.
If they're successful, Ivins will become the first city to be awarded the designation in this booming corner of the state.
I thought it'd be brighter, but I think it's just St. George is messing it up.
Scott knows it's impossible for Ivins to completely shut out the light pollution from the surrounding area. But he's hopeful that if the city does take this step, they can help others do the same.
By doing this, we're learning a lot and we're documenting it all. And we're basically going to be a resource or a library for other communities to use.
According to Jess Cleaves, the founder of the Utah chapter of the International Dark Sky Association, the work the initiative is doing is invaluable.
Local data sets don't yet exist. And without these volunteer folks ready to walk around at night and take boots on the ground measurements, it won't.
Cleve says experts won't be able to study regional light pollution trends until that local data gap is closed. But satellite imaging has shown that worldwide, light pollution has been growing faster than development. In other words, it's not just that more people means more lights. It's that the lights themselves are getting brighter. Older outdoor lighting uses pressurized sodium bulbs, which put out a warm, yellow light. But as those start to burn out, the most common replacement is more energy-efficient LEDs.
When LEDs were originally developed, the goal was to build a light that mimicked daylight, including the UV end of the spectrum. We didn't understand then that that was a really bad idea.
That's because LEDs emit greater amounts of blue light. It's not only harsh on the eyes, it can be bad for your health. Research has shown that blue light makes it harder for humans to sleep. Harvard Medical School and the American Medical Association have even linked it to adverse health effects like obesity and cancer. It can also be disruptive to nocturnal wildlife, which, down here in the desert, there's a lot of. But Ivins has developed its own solution. During the survey, Scott gave me an up-close view.
So here's a brand new city street light.
Oh, wow.
It's a LED, 3000 Kelvin LED, so it's a very bright white LED. But when you put that amber filter on it, it really tones it down.
The amber filter was developed by the city's fleet mechanic, Wilson Jimenez. It's a simple plexiglass insert, which he shapes to fit the different bulbs used by the city's outdoor lights. Scott says it's a win-win. The city gets the energy savings of LEDs without the blue light. Plus, Ivins streets get bathed in a cozy, dusky orange glow. In late June, the city council passed a new lighting ordinance that cuts the maximum brightness of city-owned outdoor streetlights nearly in half. For Ivins Mayor Chris Hart, a change like that is an easy and necessary choice. He says protecting the night skies has been part of the conversation in Ivins since the early 2000s, when the city asked residents about what should be prioritized as the city grew.
We found that there were, of course, many things that overlapped from resident to resident. And one of those things was the dark night sky, that was something worth preserving.
The tricky part was balancing preservation with growth. So the question then became, how could they use their sky as a resource? The answer was tourism.
You literally have people out there that when it's time for vacation, they will program it around areas where they can go and enjoy the dark night sky.
Research backs that up. Economists at Missouri State University have estimated that astrotourism will bring $2.5 billion to the Colorado Plateau within the next 5 years. And in Ivins, Hart says that's part of the reason why the city has been able to attract two new resorts. But for Tim Pavlik, one of the Ivins Night Sky volunteers taking measurements, protecting the night sky isn't just about the money, health, or aesthetics. He says that something fundamental would be lost if his generation lets the skies get brighter.
You steal something that's a treasure from the young people growing up.
Ivins is on track to receive its official dark sky community status early next year. David Fox, KUER News.